Right now, our friend Chris Gephardt is joining us on the phone. He's with NASASpaceflight.com. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. How are you guys?
We're good. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was filled with way too much food and beer and good company. So
perfect. Just
I'd
like
call
it
that a
be.
Success. Yeah. Although I'm also wondering how people are keeping Christmas trees alive this long until Christmas.
Yeah,
so.
I think that's going to be really difficult to pull off. So we'll hear about that later in the show. But we wanted to talk to you for the last couple of weeks because we've been reading this story about something, and I'm going to pronounce it wrong, and you're going to correct me. Oumuamua.
Yes, the thing that everyone freaked out about potentially
yes.
being an alien probe from another solar system.
Well, at the very least, we know it is something that has entered our solar system from outside of our solar system, correct?
Yes, it is what is exciting about it, it's pronounced Oh Mau Mau, sort of like that song Day Bow Bow.
Okay.
Good way to remember it. Yeah. What is exciting about it is the first known interstellar passenger that has come into our solar system that we've been able to detect. And that's incredibly exciting. We know that the sun is capable with its really strong gravity of, grabbing things as they swing by in the outer reaches of our solar system and pulling them in, but this was our first confirmation of that. So it was super exciting, and its shape was extremely odd. So, we're familiar with nice round-ish or round bodies of our solar system, like planets and moons and asteroids and things like that, but this thing was very flat, like a pancake, and very, very elongated, like if you took your finger, your index finger, and you just stretched it out like five times longer than it actually is a good way to visualize what this object looked like. So very weird, and that weird shape is what got a lot of people wondering if maybe it was a probe.
Yeah. Now, so, when we go online and I look at the story about it, I see like an artist's rendering of Oh Mau Mau. And so it's like a long, like you said, finger-like piece of rock is what it seems. But I'm guessing we don't actually have any photo of this. We don't truly know what it looks like when you see it. This is just light reflecting that we've detected, or are we ever actually going to be able to see what this thing really looks like?
We're not going to be able to see what it really looks like, no. So, yeah, you're right. So all we know about its shape and size is what we saw light reflected off it as it passed through our solar system. And, when we found it, it was already on its way back out of our solar system. So it's not like we saw it as it was coming in and had a good opportunity to train a bunch of telescopes on it when it came closest to Earth. Unfortunately, we found it after that point. No, we'll never be able to see what it looks like. And someone did a study, and I'm going to get the exact timing on this wrong, but even with our fastest technology that we have today, launching a probe toward it, it would never catch up to it because of how fast it's going out of our solar system.
So when we're saying it might have been pulled in by our sun, but it's not been pulled into an orbit at all, it's going through, is it possible that it wasn't necessarily pulled in by the sun? Could this have been a shard of a destroyed a comet or asteroid that, mm-hmm. there was a collision, it shot off, and this is just the direction it started going in?
It's a good question. That's initially what a lot of people suspected. It was until its elongated shape was really studied as much as it could be. And NASA and a bunch of other scientists looking at it and used the array of telescopes at our disposal, as well as the Hubble telescope in orbit to look at it. And we really determined that based on its size, shape, its trajectory, and the speed that it was going, when it was found, actually, it was November of last year that this story first appeared, it was going 85,000 miles per hour. Just a blisteringly fast speed. And once all of that was taken into account and some of our other telescopes that are, we're able to kind of look at it and get a basic idea of what it was made of, it didn't appear to be made of the type of things that we would expect solar system objects to be made of.
So that's why we think it's from outside the solar system, because of the composition of it?
Yeah.
And how, by just detecting light, yeah, do we know what the heck this thing is made of?
So in some ways, what we can do is we can measure, we can look and use our telescopes to look at some of the particles that are coming off of it. And it's sort of a way that we, it's sort of the same way that we, when we look at other planets outside of our solar system, right? And you hear these reports of people being able to say, oh, this planet has an atmosphere and it's got carbon and it's got oxygen and it's got nitrogen. And because basically what you're doing is you're looking at those particles as they pass in front of other stars in the background. And because we know what those other stars are made of, and we know the chemical signatures, and we know what we're looking for in what's called spectroscopy, is you're able to tell, like, the signal for, oh, that's carbon, oh, that's nitrogen. And if you know where it's coming from, then you know, you get an idea of what that object is made of. And that's partly what we were able to do with this object, to determine it was, you know, made of stuff that we wouldn't necessarily think of as being a part of our solar system from its formation until now.
We're speaking to Chris Gebhardt with NASASpaceflight.com. We're talking about Oumuamua, which is this big 400-foot long by 40-foot wide interstellar object that there was a little bit of, you know, hey, maybe this could be something sent from outer space. So is there still any possibility that it was? We'll find out with Chris next here on 720 WGN. Maybe Bala back with you on 720 WGN. This is how you remember how Oumuamua is pronounced. Now, that's not what it's named after, I'm guessing, right?
No, that's not what it's named after, no.
Well, the association will forever be there for me. Okay, so we're talking about Oumuamua.
I'm saying, now that I've heard that song.
Yeah. Yes. Oumuamua is a Hawaiian word, I'm guessing?
It is, and there's sort of a unwritten rule, you could say, in astronomy, that based on where an object is discovered from is where you might give it a name.
Okay.
Or name it after. So, and because it was discovered from an observatory in Hawaii, that's why it was given a Hawaiian name.
Is Oumuamua a place in Hawaii? Is that a town? Or is that just a Hawaiian word? And if so, what does it mean? Do we know?
Well, you've got me there. Give me a second.
That's right. You don't have to look that up. I was just wondering if you knew.
It means, well, it's on the page that I'm looking at. It means scout. It means scout in Hawaiian. So a nice correlation there, you know, scout from another solar system.
Scout from another solar system. Now, is there any possibility that this actually could be, since we haven't seen it, could this be some sort of probe sent from another planet, or do we know for sure this is some sort of rocky composition that wouldn't make any sense? There's no detection of, I guess, electronics or electricity or things like that, or is there any possibility still in the wildest dreams that it could be?
I will never say never, because you never can say with 100% certainty, but I will say 99.999999%. It's not a probe. It is rocky. There's no electrical emanations or anything from it. And, you know, going back to what we were talking about too, how we know that its origin is outside of the solar system is, you know, we're also able to measure, even though it was sped up and from the sun as it swung close to the sun last year, we're still able to use computer modeling to figure out what its speed was and what general direction it came from. And all of that matches really, really well with what we know of something that would have originated outside of our solar system, been in what we call the interstellar medium, the void between star systems. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all it matches so perfectly what that, you know, resting speed state would be. And also the direction that it came in toward the sun from. So, you know, when we think of the solar system, we think of the plane, right, that all the planets are on. Like, if you just think of a long road leading off into the distance in the desert, right, and all the planets are and asteroids are more or less scattered along that line. But Oumuamua came in almost directly from above that, and then swung out of our solar system, or is on its way out of our solar system from that. So even given the direction that it came in from, is again a good match for it coming in from just the interstellar void, where it probably was for hundreds of thousands, if not millions of years.
Yeah, what do we think? Is there any indication or any way of knowing for how long this has been traveling? And if this came from, say, if this was created in another nearby solar system, what's the minimum amount of time mm-hmm. that it would have had to have been traveling to have made it here at 85,000 miles an hour?
Yeah. So, which is an absolutely great question. There was some initial indications that this might have come from the star Vega, accounting for its movements, because all the stars aren't fixed in relation to each other, right? It's not like your neighbor's house where your house and your neighbor's house hopefully don't move.
Right.
All the stars are sort of drifting. So if you think about like taking two bottles and putting them in the ocean and then just letting them drift, mm-hmm. over time they're going to drift apart. Right, but we know how all of the stars move in relation to one another. So there was some thought that it could have come from Vega, from the direction of Vega, in which case that could lead to a lowest possible estimate of 600,000 years. Wow. It was traveling between where Vega was and where the sun is now. Other studies of its trajectory indicate that it might have been wandering the interstellar void for much longer and actually might have circled the entire center of the Milky Way galaxy once or twice, and it could have been out there for billions of years. There's one estimate that says it might have been 45 million years ago that it was formed. But unfortunately, we just don't know exactly, because we can't go land a probe there to drill down and study it and date it.
Wouldn't that be like the greatest thing if we could do that, if we could land a probe on a passing object like that? I would think that just to study that would be incredible.
Oh my God, yes.
But also, I wonder if, you know, as we talk about going to Mars and probing the deeper reaches, and, you know, we've got probes that were sent out in the 70s that are getting, didn't we just have a probe leave, our solar system, right?
Yes. So in 2012, Voyager 1 exited the solar system. And actually, just a month ago, its companion Voyager 2, which is on a different trajectory and going a little slower than Voyager 1, gave returned some indications that it had reached what's known as the basically the heliopause, which is the area where the solar wind, all those particles that flow outward from the sun, mm-hmm. meet the interstellar medium and basically stop. It's basically a region right at the edge of a puddle, right, where it's you're still in the liquid, but you're really, really close to dry land. And with that indication, Voyager 2 looks like it might pass out of our solar system sometime within the next year.
So if we could have landed, if we would have been ready and seen this coming, and we were able to put a probe or something mm-hmm. on this thing as it passed by Oumuamua, would it be, I wonder if that mm-hmm. is the way to get real deep space exploration, is to attach things to things that are traveling on their own and heading in crazy directions. I guess the real problem is, as they get farther and farther away, how do we get the signals back to Earth? Probes are leaving our solar system but are still able to send signals that come all the way back to us. It just takes, I imagine, months and months to receive them?
Yeah, so it takes signals from the Voyager probes. I believe it's roughly 19 hours to come back. and reach our receiving stations here on Earth. So not that bad right now. But you're right. You know, communication isn't necessarily like the return of data, and that ability isn't so much the problem from great distances. The Voyagers using 1970s technology are proving that on an almost daily basis. The issue that you have, and we're going to see this actually at the end, we're going to see this in 2 days when NASA lands the InSight mission lander on Mars, and then we're going to see it again on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day when a probe called New Horizons, the one that flew past Pluto in 2015, is going to fly by another object way out there. And what we see in that is, it's not so much the time that it takes for the signal to come back, but the farther out you are, the less data you can actually send back because of how the carrier signals deteriorate as they travel back toward Earth. So your rate of return is actually what goes down the farther out you go. And that can have some pretty big impacts, especially if you're trying to study an object like Oumuamua and send back really complicated data packages. That can take a lot of time to do, and you sort of have this, you know, balance of, is that a great thing to do? I mean, obviously, if something's traveling 85,000 miles per hour, that's great if you can stick something on there and just sail yourself on out of the solar system. But what's interesting about Oumuamua and what brought it back into the news cycle, right, of like, it's clearly an alien object from, you know, from another solar system, is it actually defied what normally happens the farther you get from the sun. So as all of our probes and as all of our objects escape outward from the sun, they slow down relative to the sun, right? So think about it, like if you're in your car, and you're on a bridge, and you're going up that bridge, right? And you've floored the accelerator, and you're at 80 miles an hour, and you're halfway up the bridge, and you take your foot off the accelerator, right? You're still going up. You're still going to get over the crest of that bridge, but you're going to slow down, right, relative to the bottom of the bridge, just because you're fighting gravity. But Oumuamua actually accelerated and got faster instead of doing the typical thing of slowing down. And that's what a lot of scientists are looking at it, still trying to figure out exactly what those mechanisms were. And that's what sort of reignited this, you know, new cycle debate of, oh my God, it's doing something that, you know, we don't normally see. It's gotta be aliens. Yeah. But, you know, it's just acting differently, and, you know, it's a good learning opportunity for us.
Somebody texted and asked, and I know there was never a threat of this. We were never worried about it striking Earth, but 40 feet wide, 400 feet long, at 85,000 miles an hour, if that would have struck Earth, is that a catastrophic event?
It would have done some damage. Going that fast, it's incredibly likely, depending on what its exact composition is, that pieces of it could have survived and made it to the ground. It, 40 feet by 400 feet is not an extinction event.
Okay.
Like the asteroids that we always hear of that are the extinction level events are miles and miles across. So, you know, 40 by 400 wouldn't have been totally catastrophic, but it could have done some damage, again, depending on exactly what its composition is. Because Earth is actually hit by asteroids and meteors every single day.
Right.
The vast majority of which burn up completely in our atmosphere. It's just the bigger they are, the more that has to burn up. And the bigger they are, the more likely they are to be made of more denser material and matter that can survive the temperatures of atmospheric reentry and make it to the ground. So that's what we would be concerned with in that. But given its size and given its shape, I might say part of it might have made it to the ground, but nothing big.
Mostly would have burned up. Okay. Chris Gebhardt from NASASpaceFlight.com. Yeah. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. We'll check in again soon, okay?
Sounds good. There's going to be a lot to talk about at the end of the year.
Yeah, sounds like there's a lot going on. We'll definitely make sure to check in again as we get towards the new year. Chris Gebhardt, check it out at NASASpaceFlight.com.